Mickey Hart here, you're listening to the GAA Hour Football Show.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
But these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
All right, you're welcome along to the 5th annual Woolly Awards with me, your host, Woolly. The Woolly Awards started 5 years ago on Joe.ie, so it's great to finally bring the show back home to sportsjoe.ie. Now, this year we have 7 award categories and there are going to be awards given out to both football and hurling for each category. Categories are Goal of the Year, Point of the Year, Manager of the Year, Disappointment of the Year, Individual Performance of the Year and the GAA Hour Interview of the Year. After that, we're going to be picking our all-star teams in... I'm going to be picking my all-star teams. The lads are going to tell me if it's stupid or not in both hurling and football.
It's stupid.
Right, but listen, it needs to be pointed out first that the all-stars were obviously picked for football this morning and it's the first time ever since Dave McIntyre has been on the selection committee that I haven't rang him and absolutely lynched him. The all-stars, to be fair, this year in football, because tomorrow night, obviously, the hurling ones are being announced... It's a solid pick. 8 first-time winners, 6 counties represented, and every player for a change is pretty much in the position that he's played for a lot of the year, lads.
Yeah, my only gripe really is Kieran Sullivan not getting in. I think he was brilliant. I thought last year he probably deserved Footballer of the Year and sort of got overlooked. I think he's nearly a victim of being this free man. And like, you know, but he's doing that role very well. But I think when he comes down to it and there's a selection process there, it's probably easier to dismiss him and say, I wasn't marking anyone or we didn't see him really playing centre halfback. I thought he's the one player who was really overlooked. And you look at Colin Boyle, he was brought off in 5 games of the last 6. He missed 24 minutes against Tyrone and Dublin the first game altogether. Like, so it's a 1-point match and a drawn match, and Colin Boyle missed all those. Like, so I feel like he did well.
Yeah, we're probably nitpicking. I want to say Conan, obviously, that's the voice, you know Conan by now. Barry Call, our resident expert, is here, and Damien Hayes is on the line. Barry, Damien, how's it going?
Good, thanks, yeah.
Good, thanks, Conan.
Glad to be here, yeah.
You're both obviously All-Stars. Barry, you're All-Star. Damien, you're an All-Star. All-Star Nights, I was at one of them. It is, it's great crack. I can see why Lee Chin doesn't want to play with the Wexford youth and go to this night. The free wine is
great.
Did
someone bring you?
I was never nominated. It's a very good question.
You won a prize.
I was on the compromise rules and we all got asked that year to it. But I never got nominated. It's a bit of a gripe of mine. There's one year I thought I could have snuck a nomination. But
it's a brilliant night, yeah. I got mine back in 2007. It was in City West back then, and there was 4 of us dubs represented on the night. But yeah, it's serious crack now, in fairness. It's the biggest sort of social night of the GAA calendar.
Yeah.
So now that it's in the convention centre, it's a good location for it as well. So I think lads really look forward to it, and particularly if you find out beforehand, you know, like for the 15
you
guys
found
I won
out
this morning.
No,
we found out on the night.
Well, that's better, obviously. Then
yeah,
it
is. I mean, it was. I think I mean, mum and dad tickets and stuff like that day. So it was all a bit of a panic, but it was a great night, in fairness. Yeah,
yeah. Damien, a lot of people say it's not about individual awards; it's about the team. But like, I mean, winning an All-Star must be a huge, achievement personally for you.
Colin, it's a brilliant thing just as an individual to win an All-Star award. It's something extremely special to you as a player and to your family and to your club, you know. But yeah, it is all about the team, but it's nice to get honoured individually, absolutely.
Yeah, I think, Dave, you got a Derry All-Star, Junior All-Star, Conan, ever honoured in that way, no?
No, I think the only...
Those awards up in Ulster, there's Ulster Awards, there's all sorts of awards dished out up there.
The only type of individual recognition I've ever been given is, I remember seeing in the paper, it had a sort of list of all the top scorers for each club in the championship. And I was our second top scorer.
And you
in the
were marking all of them.
Very good. I was our second top scorer in the championship, and I had 2 points.
Right,
but it was still
listen,
a bit of an
yeah.
accolade.
Yeah, thank listen, I'll take that. Right, we'll start off, lads. Goal of the year. We'll start off with football nominees. Lee Keegan versus Dublin, absolutely unbelievable goal. The whole move, Shamie O'Shea, crossfield ball into his brother Aidan O'Shea, turns Keane O'Sullivan and goes in on goals. And Lee Keegan is just timing his run absolutely perfectly. And what a finish from a wing back. Ryan McHugh, purely as maybe the best team goal of the year, just a turnover, a mistake. I think it could have been Keane O'Sullivan, or Keane O'Sullivan actually a loose ball.
Fortunately, Keane, I think, was the cause of both those goals. And, and that's why he probably lost out on the All-Star.
Can we start this again?
Maybe he didn't lose out in the Woolley Award. We'll find that out in a minute. That Ryan McHugh was a brilliant, just quick hands, ball never touched a foot. Was pure Donegal football.
Hand passing.
Gary Sice against Roscommon, terrible defending, but what a brilliant goal. There was nothing on when he got it, way out on the right wing on the 45 and stuck it in the top corner. And Damien Comer against Tipperary, another bulldozing goal, just unstoppable. And it was at a time when Galway really, really needed it. It got them within 3 points at half time, but it did absolutely no good in the end. And in hurling, we have Bubbles O'Dwyer against Kilkenny in the All-Ireland final. Unbelievable wrist. Damien Hayes has been talking about Bubbles O'Dwyer's wrist for a long, long time. And that was the proof. The minute I saw it, the wrist, the no backswing, just bang into the corner. Austin Gleeson versus Kilkenny replay, impossible angle, came running in from the sideline, didn't look like a goal was on. And Joe Canning versus Clare. This was the ball won in from the throw-in. Cohen runs down, gives it to Burke, who throws it into Canning. Canning doesn't catch it, just controls it on his hurl, and bang, straight over the goal, straight into the goal. So, Damien, what do you think of those three? Anything I've missed?
I personally would have put in Bubba's goal against Galway in the All-Ireland semi-final.
Oh, yeah.
That's just, you know, one that comes to mind. John McGrath got it, gave in the hand pass. Colm Canlan came out. Bubba's ball to hand within a second, struck, bounced off the ground, back of the net, and you can say what you like, that was the goal that beat Galway, that was the goal that won in All-Ireland for Tipperary, that was the big change in score. So that's the big one for me that has been left out. That was just from the tightest of angles, that goal was just savage.
Yeah, he knocked it into the ground as well.
Yeah, it was just a savage goal, as I said, and it was a goal that turned tip season and ruined Galway.
Badly needed, yeah,
and
at that time.
It's amazing, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Barry, any football ones I'm missing out on? Or
Peter Hart got a good goal against Cavan.
Up in
Clonus. But no, you can't really argue with those four. Damon Comer is a guy in particular who caught my eye this year. You know, he's similar to Kevin McMenamin. Serious power, you know, great balance, low centre of gravity, a nightmare for guys to mark. And he's just very direct, which I love with a player, you know. So, yeah.
Stephen Attroyd actually got a brilliant goal. He's from Leash. I was going to put it in, but it might look like I'm, you know, a little bit biased. It was in the second half down in Nolan Park. He was wing back and he came onto a ball at pace and bang, into the roof of the net, beat Cluxton. So
he scored more than Alan Broden that day, didn't he?
Bernard Brogan.
You can't just pick goals that Dublin conceded, though, as well.
Yeah, no, and look, this is the Dublin bias. I was very conscious of the fact that a lot of my first three goals of the year were all against Dublin. I think there's something going on subconsciously. Maybe I say I don't dislike Dublin, and subconsciously I do, but I don't. Anyways, we'll move on. Right, listen, we'll announce the winners. Winner of the football goal of the year is Lee Keegan. Winner of the hurling goal of the year is Joe Canning.
Yeah, you can't argue with the Lee Keegan one. I think it's well documented that that this year, because of his man marking role, he had to be a lot more selective in terms of getting into the opposition half. So he only really did it maybe two or three times a game maximum. And like, he really just made hay when he decided to make go that burst. Dermot Connolly just let him go for a couple of seconds and then there was no catching him. But, you know, Aidan O'Shea, who obviously had a quiet end to the season, that was probably his standout moment, but from losing Keane O'Sullivan and having the assist for that goal as well.
Happy with that, Damien, your club mate, yeah. Joe. That was incredible skill.
I'd be very happy with that, Colm. Two super goals. Joe's goal was top-notch and Lee Keegan's goal was top notch as well. And the one thing I'll say, right, I'm not a footballer, right, but the one thing I know is about footballers, when they come in for goal shots, not many lads can keep the ball along the ground and put it into the corners. And that goal from Lee Keegan from 21 yards out to the bottom left corner was absolutely brilliant. And Joe's goal was top notch. So yeah, I'd be very happy, very fair decision on them too.
Okay, great stuff. Next one, lads, is point of the year. So we've got our nominations. Peter Hart versus Donegal. Like, this was an absolutely sensational point. This won the game pretty much. It was a pop shot from 45 metres out, almost a shot to nothing, and it went over the bar. Sean Kavanagh versus Donegal. I think people think I'm biased against Donegal here, but this was an incredible score, off balance, skied it up in the air and just dropped on the net. Like, when you want inspiration, the ones that drop on the net are the ones that really get you going. And Dear McConnelly versus Mead. Now, you know, Dublin beat Mead well, but Connolly first let the ball through his legs, then just casually, nonchalantly went back, flicked it up into his hands, threw a sidestep at a Mead player who just rushed out to him, you know, stupidly, and banged it over off the outside of his boot. A thing of absolute beauty it was. Not necessarily game changer or anything like that, but just artistry at its very best. Hurling, Austin Gleeson versus Kilkenny in the replay. Won the ball in midfield, soloed the whole way from midfield, did one of those beautiful knock the ball off the ground to get his four, or to get his you know, to be able to catch the ball a second time, then threw a dummy pass with his hand, caught it back again, and it was a weird finish then, just kind of scooped it up over the bar. So incredible score, just completely all Austin Gleeson's making. Pádraic Mahony is the second one, against Kilkenny in Croke Park, the first day out by the 45 under the Cusack stand, off balance, and just launches it and it goes over the bar. And the other one is Tony Kelly versus Waterford. It was the winning score. The game completely turned on its head, you know, in the last few moments of the game, and it was under the stand as well, and it was a flick of the wrist and it was over the bar. There was so many hurling scores, actually, Damien. I didn't know which ones to actually pick. You could pick any of Austin Gleeson's points in the first game in Croke Park. You could pick any of Richie Hogan's points against Galway or against Waterford in that game. Just, I suppose, a hurling point of the year is a very difficult one to narrow down.
Yeah, very, very difficult to narrow down, I would say, one single score and a point, because this year's championship in hurling was absolutely brilliant. You know, it was, I feel, up to the quarter-final stages, I said it before, that I felt that the hurling championship was quite boring. You know, I think all the results that were meant to go the way they went the way, but as you said, there was some brilliant scores, and the 3 points that you've narrowed them down to, we'll say, just on the selection committee, I'd be pretty happy with them three as well. There are 3 top-class scores as well from 3 top-class individuals.
Yeah, what about the football, Barry? Any, or Colin, yeah, I mean, anything jump in the mind?
Connolly's one is just pure technique, you know, that shot. Yeah, absolutely, you know, from the outside of the boot. And he can do it with his left foot as well, because his point against Kerry at the end of the game, similar to Kevin McMenamin on his left foot, they were 2 huge scores. So I think you have to factor in the quality of the score, but also the importance of it, you know, or the environment that they kicked it in. Kevin McMenamin actually got a couple of good ones. One, I think, against Donegal just after he conceded the goal.
Yeah.
Out on the left-hand side in the...
Oh, yeah,
towards
the left
exam
as well.
Brilliant point, yeah. So it just shows the value of having guys who up front who are well able to kick from 40, 50 yards at both feet, you know.
They're 2 great examples, actually, Connolly and McManaman off the left. Nearly the similar angles, the both of them.
Yeah, and the one left foot score that Connolly got off Keegan was the first day. That was a beauty as well. Like, you know, it's... No,
second
sorry,
day.
Second day.
Into the hill.
It's the one he sort of got off Keegan, like, while Keegan was still there, but... I would definitely be looking at those Tyrone guys. I mean, it's funny, like, that game was criticised, you know, that Donegal-Tyrone-Ulster final. That was the match that was not good to watch. It was rubbish, entertainment value, blah, blah, blah. And then we're talking about 2 of the best 3 scores of the year.
Yeah.
Ryan McHugh got a couple of good scores.
He got three brilliant scores.
3
in the first half. Yeah, a few brilliant scores.
But Peter Hart's just for the occasion. That's the one I'd be looking at anyway. Like, the technique is about 50 metres out. Off the laces, it's sort of on the right hand side as well. He's hitting it with his right foot, and just like, you know, we all thought it was going for a draw and it was going to be a replay, but the crowd, it hung in the air for so long. Sorry, was it his left foot?
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Hung in the air for so long, and it's just, you could see the crowd rising as the ball's dropping. It was just a real
And
moment.
It went about 15 metres.
Went way over.
Yeah. Way over. So it didn't just drop over the black spot, you know, it was still travelling. It was a fully 65 metre kick, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, listen, I had it narrowed down to Peter Hart. I was going to give it to Peter Hart, and then I kind of figured out Peter Hart was a pot shot. It was a shot to nothing. You know, the game was a draw match. I think Tyrone were 1 up at that time. That put them 2. No, that was to put them 1 up. Sean Kavanagh, they were a point down, 71 minutes and 30 seconds left. when he got the ball, there was nothing on outside the 45. He ran into a group of four players, shouldered one of them to the ground, wriggled out of the four of them, ran across the field, and then cut in towards the goal, and off balance swung over maybe the most inspirational score I've ever seen. And there were 11-10 down at the time, played a captain's part, and for those reasons, Sean Kavanagh gets point of the year. And Austin Gleeson, I actually could have given Austin Gleeson everything this year, like, you know,
20-minute highlight reel.
Yeah, 20 minute. It's the greatest player, listen, that we're ever going to see, I think, playing hurling when he finishes. It was in the replay against Kilkenny, and it was that one. It was all about Austin Gleeson. It was all him. Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of an under 12 who's much bigger than everybody else. You know,
an overage player
just running through and doing it all on his own. It's this ride or over stuff. So there you go, winner of point of the year, Sean Kavanagh and Austin Gleeson. All right, enough. We have to move on to the next category, which is Manager of the Year. Three nominations for Football Manager of the Year. Jim Gavin from Dublin features in our opening sting to the show. Big fans on the show of Jim Gavin. Liam Kearns obviously did a brilliant job with Tipperary, and Colm Collins, who did a brilliant job with Clare. Because these awards, it's all relative. It's not about Jim Gavin, who's the best players and the best team at his disposal. It's about what you do with the players that you have. Michael Ryan, the hurling one is Michael Ryan, Tipperary, turned Tipperary around this year, you know, added a bit of steel to them, picked players in positions, put a bit, you know, made them a little bit more physical and got them over the line. Also brought Bubbles back in for the final when a lot of people, not us on this show, but a lot of people said he shouldn't. Derek McGrath, for changing Waterford's tactics, even though Pádraig Ó Maithní told us yesterday he didn't change all that much for
after
that
game. The final.
No, the game against Kilkenny.
Oh, right.
Pádraig Ó Maithní says, well, we didn't really choose to. Just Croke Park's very difficult to move up and down. So we But Micheál Donoghue, because took over Galway in a very difficult situation, you know, after Cunningham getting sacked last year, and, you know, really could and should have beaten Tipperary in the semi-final. So he can hold his head up high coming into a difficult situation and keeping Galway at that level or even exceeding that level. Lads, first, two lads here beside me. Football, what's your thoughts?
Stephen Rochford's a bit hard done by.
A little bit, yeah. Because for Donoghue, for those reasons, Rochford came in with those reasons as well, you know. So
and very difficult situation after the Galway defeat as
yeah,
well.
Because yeah,
he could have been out of a job maybe a week later type
yeah.
of thing, you know.
Yeah, you're making me feel
loss.
Bad here. Maybe Rochford should have been in the mix.
And I just feel like he did everything he could have. It wasn't like, I don't feel like he could have done more for Mayo to win the Sam. Like, they were in positions to do it, and, you know, the two goals in the first game, there's just these elements that came out.
I remember. The goalkeeping thing. That's what's ruined him.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's ruined. I considered Rochford and went, look, it's just too much of an impact on that replay. You know, that decision to change
code.
It's too big a call to get wrong to be shortlisted for Manager of the Year. Hurling, Damien, what do you think? Ryan, Derek McGrath, Micheál Donoghue, have I missed anyone?
No, I don't think you have. No, I give the nod there to Michael Ryan. First year in charge, done a massive apprenticeship. So he did with under Liam Sheedy and Eamon O'Shea. So he did stamp his own authority on the team, drop lads off the panel or give them the option of retiring. Put new lads into positions, for example Ronan Maher at centre back, who absolutely lorded it in the All-Ireland final and in his own personal county final. What I liked about his management style was that it wasn't all about himself. When the All-Ireland was over, the whole management team hugged each other. They went up and collected the Liam McCarthy together, got a photograph together. I like that sort of stuff. It's not all about one individual. Football, I would give the football award to Liam Kearns because of what he has to choose from. Hurling is the number one sport in Tipperary, and I thought Liam Kearns did a brilliant job, and there was a super performance by them against Galway in the quarter final in Croke Park. So they're my two decisions, Dennis.
Yeah, I'll let the lads comment before I call mine out.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that with those two. And just to follow up on Damien's point about Michael Ryan, like, I've watched a lot of the Hurling Championship this year, but he's someone that was completely under the radar all summer, and still, you know, I barely recognise him if he came into the room. He very much seems like a player's manager, very humble, and definitely just, you know, stays away from any form of limelight unless the players take it. And yeah, the thing with Liam Kearns is, as we were chatting to Michael Quinlivan after they got beaten in the semi-final by Mayo, like, very much in some of their Tipperary training sessions, they only have 24, 25 training, which I found unbelievable for a team to get to a semi-final that they don't have 33 players at every single training session. So at a minimum, you can have a 15v15 A versus B game. And for him to, you know, pick up the pieces, because, you know, they didn't have a great league campaign, and just to go on the run that they did, with everything at its disposal. But I will say about Jim Gavin as well, and you can talk about resources and quality players, etc., but there is a lot of pressure of being a Dublin manager, and there's a lot of distractions, and that group of players, they've won so much, it's not that easy to keep that group of players motivated, and also to keep a happy camp as well, because they're all competing for spots, you know.
I think the motivation comes from losing your place, but I think the happy camp is very important, you know.
So that sometimes gets overlooked as well.
I think Jim Gavin's a little bit underrated nearly, like, you know, this is the second time since 1990 that someone's backed up the All-Ireland. That's such a big achievement, and the way he did it, like the way he sort of changed Dublin and made them this more resilient team, like their defence won in the All-Ireland this year, whereas it's always been their attack. And I just, I feel like, you know, it's easy because he's managing Dublin that we can just sort of overlook him and say, ah, well, he's managing Dublin. But I think the job he did and the subs he made in the final in particular, that won them the All-Ireland as well.
No, I agree. I think Jim Gavin does an awful lot of good work. And like I said, it's keeping everybody happy, which is important. And they all seem to like him, which kind of, you know, surprises me a little bit. The winners are Liam Kearns and Michael Ryan. Liam Kearns, like the lads have said, you know, Jesus, he won four championship games, beating Derry, beating Galway, beating Cork. Incredible stuff. They only have nearly half a panel, missing so many lads. You know, it's just an incredible achievement to do what he did with that panel of players. And the hurling is Michael Ryan. Damien, I'm agreeing with both of yours there. Michael Ryan again, yeah, for reasons Damien gave, they're two worthy winners. Managers of the year, Liam Kearns and Michael Ryan. All right, great stuff. Next one up is disappointment of the year. We'll fly through these now. In football, disappointment of the year nominations are Roscommon. Absolute disaster, really, after the group stages of the league ended. It went all downhill. To just put too much emphasis on the league, it looks like, in hindsight. Armagh, who just had a nightmare championship, destroyed by Cavan, beaten by Laois, who weren't going well, then got a reprieve and just got beaten by Laois again, who weren't going well, so who ends up losing to Clare. So, like, a nightmare for Armagh. Kildare, a massive disappointment this year. You know, went out badly against, hammered by Mayo up in McHale Park, that's not the worst, but beaten by Westmead in maybe the most boring game of the whole season. And this is from a new manager, you know, who's very, very highly rated, and you're expecting.
Lost to Clare in the league final as
lost
well.
Lost to Clare in the league final.
That wasn't
yeah.
good going into the summer, you know.
And, you know, so much was expected of this new management team, and it just hasn't happened. So they're a huge disappointment. Hurling nominations are Clare, brilliant league, a little bit like Roscommon, just fell apart in the championship. Cork, who pretty much fell apart all year outside of beating Dublin, to beat Galway in a relegation final, lost every league game, and then were hammered by Tipperary in Munster, and to beat Dublin and then got beaten by Wexford, who were having a nightmare year as well. So, and Dublin, you know, really big disappointment, not really, you know, pushing on at all. Lads, quickly, what do you think there? We'll start with the football lads here with me.
Kildare would be the one for me. Now, Meath as well. I mean, those two counties, I think, over the last few years have been a massive, massive disappointment, you know, and Leinster football have suffered, and obviously Dublin-Kildare games, Dublin-Meath games that I involved with were hugely competitive matches. So, for me, I'd have to go with Kildare on that side of it, with a new manager coming in. They've had a few decent players and teams at minor under 21 over the last few years, and, you know, they should be aiming for quarterfinals of the championship every year and should be close to the Division 1.
When you see Tipperary and Clare and these teams getting this quarterfinals, no, Kildare should be ashamed of themselves, really.
It's easy for me. Roscommon is the one I'd go with. The new management coming in as well, McStay and O'Donnell, you just thought that was going to be a big turning point for them. They'd already been doing well, and then they look so good in the league. I remember writing a report after they beat Donegal, and it was like, this is a bit of a revolution going on here. This could be the real deal. And just the state of them then come the summer, it's hard to watch, and it's a bit depressing now when you think of Roscommon compared to what they were a couple of months before.
Yeah, okay, Damien, hurling there, Clare, Cork, Dublin, who would you be looking at there?
I just go straight out and say Clare. I fancy Clare to win Munster this year. I thought they had a brilliant league campaign, brilliant league final, brilliant league replay. They have so much talent, so much potential. There was an awful lot of talk about them, and next thing, they just failed to deliver in every aspect, going huge disappointment in the hurling setup. And in the football, I go with Roscommon. I thought Roscommon especially after a league campaign, next thing Galway beating Mayo, they had a huge opportunity to go win a Connacht Championship, and they just fell wayside as well. So I'd go with Clare and Hurling and Roscommon as well in the football.
Yeah, okay, well look, the winners of, well, I don't think these are winners, no, really. These are the losers. The worst of
round
the
of applause for these.
The worst, yeah, we might get some boos here actually. I'm going with Roscommon in football, and Barry's made a great case for Kildare. They showed a bit of heart in the first half against Mayo, something Roscommon just didn't show really in the championship all this year. They went out so meekly against Clare. It was absolutely shocking, and the replay against Galway, they were humiliated. And while I take 100% the Clare disappointment, Clare won the league, so I'm giving them a little pass on being a major disappointment. They were in the championship, but for disappointments right throughout the year, well, you could say Roscommon did all right, but Roscommon just crumbled. It was bizarre what happened to them. Cork just were a shambles all year. You know, didn't win any league game. Were lucky to beat Galway, you know, in the relegation replay, made a late surge, and then beaten by Wexford in the championship after being hammered by Tipperary. So all in all, the winners, the losers of this category are Roscommon and Cork. All right, next one up is Tactical Decision of the Year, lads. This is our fifth award of the night.
It's an interesting one,
yes. And there's some good nominees in this one as well. In football first, we start with Kieran Kilkenny, moved to wing back against Westmeath. In hindsight, it looks such an obvious decision, but you have to give Jim Gavin credit at the time, brought on Paddy Andrews, kept seven at forwards on the field. I think that's the future against
maybe
the
slightly enforced though, because Jack McCaffrey wasn't there and James McCarthy was after getting the knee injury.
There you go, so we're giving Jim Gavin credit. It's not like me to give Jim Gavin credit that he doesn't deserve, but anyways, he still did it, and I think that's the future against defensive teams. Your half back line all need to be very, very accurate and very good in an attacking sense. So that's Kieran Kilkenny, the wing back. The Armagh goalie, Paul Courtney, the sweeper-keeper, geezer just revolutionising goalkeeping. He made, I don't know how many forays up the field, which in theory, you're playing against a team pushing up in your kickouts. Your goalkeeper's able to play outfield. He's a natural midfielder. You take a 1-2 and suddenly you're past that first line. You know, so there is a logic behind it, and I hadn't seen it before, so I thought that was absolutely great. It was an innovation. Lee Keegan, best attacking halfback, suddenly became a man marker on the full back line, playing full back at times. You know, that was a tactical decision. And Kerry, the bizarre situation where Cluxton's meltdown, Kerry are pushing up in his kickouts and they're all clapping over their heads to try and distract Clucko, and bizarrely it worked. I don't know if it's the clapping, but it just looked absolutely brilliant. The three hurling nominations are Galway, who played Cohen in midfield, who's a corner black, and played Dahi Burke in full back on this year, who cleaned out Shamie Callanan in the semi-final. So a nice little bit of jigging around by Donoghue there. Waterford versus Kilkenny in the first game in Croke Park. Derek McGrath went from a defensive system to an attacking system, and we had two absolute classic games in both the draw match and the replay. And Kilkenny, Brian Cody, who doesn't do tactics at all, the game takes on a life of his own, he'll tell you. He moved his two best forwards, TJ Reid and Richie Hogan, into midfield for the drop for the
maybe
replay.
The lads just decided that themselves on the pitch.
Yeah. Sometimes players just make these decisions. So Brian Cody will be embarrassed to be in the tactical decision of the year. We'll start with football, lads. What were you thinking?
Is the Armagh thing in here as a good tactical innovation?
Yes.
Whoa, what?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
No,
I think
he was awful. He was awful that day. He didn't even wear gloves. His kickouts were bad. He was bad.
Wait a minute. How can you say a goalkeeper not wearing gloves is a bad thing? Bring back the no gloves. John O'Leary, come on, just spit on your hands. It's in the middle of summer. You don't
back
need
to
gloves.
The cast of gloves.
Paul Courtney, like I actually I would have seen him a few times playing for Queens, and he's a really good player. He played midfield with Charlie Vernon in college, but like he wasn't good that day. I remember seeing it, and actually I agree with you in a sense. When you're talking about seven aside, I always say the goalkeeper is the most important player.
Yeah, they're always MVP, aren't they? Yeah, because you can't put a proper
Australia,
goalkeeper
the
in.
And Australia, the compromise rules are always really important as well.
Yeah, but it's just he took the ball up the field like grand, but I don't think it worked. Like,
it's the innovation though. It's the thought process here. Kind of. Managers are always trying to think outside the box, and Keyser did that.
Well, so I'm going to throw one into the mix that's not mentioned there. It was the Mayo Tyrone game and our good buddy Alan Dillon starting that morning. Very big game, like All Ireland quarter final. Mayo got over by a point. Alan Dillon had something like 20 possessions and got on a lot of ball. Completely perplexed. Mickey Hart didn't see it coming, you know. I think Justin McMahon had to be taken off after 20 minutes. Then they withdrew Alan Dillon at half time, so no one, I think, saw that coming. So you got to give the Mayo management a bit of credit for that. Whether it's Stephen Ratchford or Tony McEntee, I'm not sure.
100%. Damien, the three hurling, anything to add to that, or are you happy with those three?
No, pretty happy with that as well. I give my hurling decision anyways to Brian Cody. I thought that was absolutely brilliant, bringing Richie Hogan and TJ Reid out to the middle of the field. So that, you know, because that's where the game was going to be won. You and I discussed it months ago. Cody knew that the battle was going to be won in the middle eight, and what did he do? He put his eight strongest players basically in the middle eight, two hurler of the years into the middle of the fray and get stuck in. And it was a huge tactical decision. It was a gamble, but no better man to gamble, and that was a huge decision that went on to win the game for Kilkenny. But yeah, I'd give it to Brian Cody on this one.
Alright,
as you said, Colin, a man that doesn't do tactics, he's been doing them for years unknown to people, or maybe some of the media are afraid to say it, but he's been doing it for years.
Yeah, okay, I agree. Now listen, I have my winners down here. Brian Cody wins the hurling. Barry's after throwing an awful one into left field here, which I hadn't remembered. So just to show that, listen, I'm open to suggestions here, and there's no ego in the Woolley Awards. I'm going to change my original decision, and I'm going to go Alan Dillon, which I have the Mayo management for bringing on, starting Alan Dillon, centre forward, and Justin McMahon, because we discussed that at length on the GAR. What a brilliant decision was. Justin McMahon likes to drop off, and Alan Dillon, a clever player, got on so many possessions. It was a brilliant tactical move. And it was actually a simple tactical move, but like in the game,
a lot of them look simple, and
a lot of managers are afraid of their life to change something that worked. If a team won the last day, they're afraid to mix it up. Right, Mayo management for Alan Dillon, winner, and Brian Cody, who's just going to be absolutely embarrassed to get this award for those reasons. He doesn't do tactics. You've got Brian Cody and the Mayo management winners from this one. All right, thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you. Individual Performance of the Year is our next award, lads. It's our sixth award of the night, and we'll run through these pretty quickly. Sean Kavanagh versus Donegal played a captain's part. Gary Brennan versus Roscommon, I was down at that one, is one of the best performances from a midfielder I've seen. He ran out of steam a little bit the last 15 minutes, but that was to be kind of understood. And Paddy McBrearty versus Cork. Cork played sweepers, but they just had no number. Well, their sweepers weren't doing a great job positionally, but there was no, when Paddy McBrearty's on fire, he's really on fire, you know, there's no stopping him. In hurling, we've got Pádraig Mahoney in the first day against Kilkenny. I think he got 14 points altogether, 6 from play, maybe 5 from playing a 165, only back from a leg break, you know, just incredible performance. Shamie Callanan against Kilkenny in the final, wasn't it? 9 from play, lads, just unbelievable as well. And Austin Gleeson versus Kilkenny.
Should that not be Austin Gleeson versus everyone?
Yeah, listen, honestly, like Austin Gleeson was going to get every award, but like, I mean, you just can't give him everything. Like, I have Austin Gleeson versus Kilkenny in the replay here, but I was actually looking at highlights. He got 5 from play in the first day, like we mentioned earlier, and every one was just an unbelievable score. So look, Austin Gleeson, nearly in every game he's played this year. I don't want to give away a player of the year here and let that happen. Right, what do you
suspense. If I was a betting man.
Right, lads, football here quickly.
I'm just going to throw Peter Hurt against Cavan into the mix.
Okay.
It was actually the first game I went to. I came back from the Euros in France, and it was great just to be back. I was in Clunas watching Tyrone and Cavan. And just this magic performance from Peter Hurt. The second game, sorry, and he got 2-4, I think it was, in the day, and playing in this position where it was just, God knows where he was playing, like, you know, when he just kept ghosting in the space and picking off these amazing scores, and everything he did, just did it with so much panache. And he was actually the first person who made me start declaring people as the best player in Ireland. So that's where it all
and
starts.
And you didn't stop.
Yeah.
When those floodgates open.
But go ahead, tell me another performance of the year and I'll tell you.
Well, I don't have any outside those three. Paddy McBrearty is a guy who I rate really highly, and he always threatens to destroy teams.
Yeah.
You know,
he's a frustrating player though, isn't he?
He is frustrating. I think he should really have a couple of All-Stars under his belt at this stage, and you know, he probably hasn't come close to getting one really. But like, when he burst on the scene in 2011, so much potential, and he shows it in flashes. Jim McGuinness then sort of brought him off the bench in 2014.
Yeah.
Rory got a bit more out of him, Rory Gallagher, but finally in Croke Park You know, you started getting on the ball in the right areas at the right times. That sort of loop around receiving the ball from the full forward, and he was phenomenal that day against Cork.
I think McBrearty is an old school type of player who likes ball in front. I don't think the Donegal system suits McBrearty. No. He likes to win ball, turn and shoot, and he can't do that against you know, with the Donegal system. So he's always hamstrung by that. Hurling, Damien.
The hurling. I'd give my hurling performance of the year to Seamus Cannon.
Yeah,
I would be honest, because he's just the performance he had in the All Ireland final, Colm. It's childhood dream stuff. You know, every ball that went into him, he won it. Every ball he got into, he scored it. He, like, there was one stage, like, just for confidence, he took a free and it was blocked down where there was
front of the hill,
a bikini player just put up the hurl and blocked it down. And it didn't affect his confidence, you know. And just, I happened to be basically in that side of the pitch where he scored his very first point over his left shoulder, which was just incredible. It maybe should have been one that could have been nominated as well for points of the year. But just Seamus Cannon, just, he will never have another one of those games again for the rest of his life. And he had it on the biggest day of the hurling calendar year, on All-Ireland final day, to win. He's really, it was a big one for him, because he won an All-Ireland 2010 as a sub. So this was him winning his own All-Ireland medal. So,
and he hadn't been shooting the lights out either going into that game, you know.
Was childhood dream.
Yeah.
So my Seamus Cannon.
Dáithí Burke did really well on him in the semi-final. And the great thing about Seamus Cannon is that, why I was delighted for him, is that he shot the lights out against Galway the year before, but they lost, so he didn't get the credit for that. He destroyed JJ Delaney in an All-Ireland final the year before, I think it was, and they didn't win, it was a draw, so he didn't really get any credit for that. So finally he has one of these unbelievable games that only he's capable of, and they win, so he gets to plaud it. So that's a very easy decision.
And another thing, Colm, he was, as well as we were talking about consistency, right, this is his third year in a row to be nominated for Hurler of the Year.
Yeah.
Which speaks volumes, you know. TJ Reid, Richie Hogan and Seamus Cannon. So to get it 3 years in a row speaks for itself.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. And he's coming from a place where he was on and off the team for a couple of years, kind of playing wing forward, playing centre forward, didn't really have a full-time position, but now, you know, obviously does. Huge man, can actually destroy you in the air, on the ground, anywhere you want. Yeah. He'll run to the wings. He's just a huge weapon. Winners of this category are obviously Seamus Cannon. I can't give Austin Gleeson everything, but I don't think he could beat Seamus Cannon on this occasion for the man of the match display. And Gary Brennan versus Roscommon. Gary Brennan just gave one of these old school fetch, run forward, distribution. You name it, Gary Brennan has it. And he seems to be around a long time. I think he's only like in his late 20s. He's still
pretty. Yeah, the ball was like a magnet to him that day, wasn't it?
It's a throwback to an Anthony Toole who can actually fetch.
John McDermott or something.
Yeah,
like that,
these fellas. And you don't see those midfielders anymore. And that's why I think everyone loves Gary Brennan, because he's a proper 1990s kind of midfielder. Yeah, Brian Steins. You know these fellas, just 6'5", but have all the football in the world. Yeah. And we kind of miss those players now. We have the Matty Donnellys and the, you know, these fellas who are brilliant as well, but, you know, they're the more modern type midfielders. Yeah, so Gary Brennan, Seamus Cannon, congratulations. All right, great stuff. We're on to our last award of the night. This is number 7. It's for the GAAR Interview of the Year. Nominations for this one are Aidan O'Shea was on the show on a Monday after, I think it was the Westmeath game, and we had to bring up the diving incident, and I think he handled it fairly well. We had to kind of, you know, question him a little bit on it, but like, he was adamant he didn't dive, you know, but he got his opportunity to explain himself, really, which he hadn't been doing, and credit to him for taking that call, because a lot of players probably wouldn't have done that.
And that's the beauty of this podcast, isn't it?
That's the great thing, we're able to get these fellas. And actually looking back, that was our most listened to podcast. That was Aidan O'Shea talking about the dive, and we had Paul Galvin in as well. Were you in for that one, Barry, too?
No.
Paul Galvin was on talking about sledging, and he was talking about Noel O'Leary, the times, you know. So it was like two of the biggest names in GAA talking about two of the most topical things at the time. So it was our most listened to episode. Liam Kearns from The Bus. This was brilliant. This was Conor Sweeney, who we rang. Like, what? This is the great thing about these minnow teams. They'll actually take a call from The Bus when they're drinking cans on the way down after beating Galway. And I got on to Conor Sweeney, and I'll tell the story in a minute. Dan Shanahan did a brilliant interview on the Hurling Show on dropping his brother. He actually said he hadn't been asked all week about dropping his brother, and came out incredible honesty saying about how hard it was, and it's so difficult because he thought he should be on the team, and Dan's a selector, so just give you an insight into what those meetings must have been like. Dan saying, arguing his brother's case, and you know, him being outvoted really and having to suck it up, you know, which I just thought was incredible. Brian Cody, who I met down at the press night, Brian has never taken a call from the show but had to do that one, but he's getting nominated for standing in front of me for 10 minutes talking incredibly well and telling me absolutely nothing. So Brian, you are getting nominated for that. The win, what do you think, lads? I'll let you comment there first.
I like Liam Cairns. That was actually his second appearance on the podcast, wasn't it? We spoke to him, and I remember that first interview he was talking about, and it sort of went national then. Well, the podcast is national, but you know, everyone sort of picked it up where Liam Cairns was talking about letting the players have a few drinks and what's the point if you can't celebrate, and like, you know, everyone was like, this is the way it should be. And but it's funny,
it was refreshing, wasn't it?
It was great. And it's funny, we're talking about like the you'll tell the story about the phone being handed around the Tipperary bus. And next year, if they do well and they're in the semi-final, like, that'll probably be all off limits.
I'd love to think that they won't. If they continue this success, the next year they could have a media manager who'll say absolutely not. And it's just like, oh god,
we knew Tipperary before they turned professional, sort of thing.
I would have thrown in John Evans. It was always good to listen to him.
John Evans was more in as a pundit, you know. John Evans is always good value. Damien, what do you think?
I go to Tipperary bus. I think that's brilliant. I think it's a great story. As you said, if they can't, they're after making history, you know, and they're after putting in a brilliant performance up in Croke Park. Everyone enjoyed it. They played brilliant football. They're on the way down. Liam Cairns must have allowed the bus to pull in the lads to get a few drinks, a couple of cans, so they could mark the occasion, enjoy it. So, fair play. That's what it's all about. There's too much seriousness in this world. You know, you can't drink for 6 months, and you can't listen, you can't do an interview, and you can't pick up the paper. So fair play to Liam Cairns. You know, I take my hat off and say well done for letting the players to enjoy. We won an Leinster final column in 2012. I've often said this, and we weren't allowed to bring the cup home. We weren't barely allowed to take photographs. We weren't allowed to celebrate it. So, you know, well done for Liam Cairns.
The beauty about that as well, if Liam Cairns or maybe the captain has said, look, right lads, drinks ban, we have a big game next weekend, you know, four or five lads, we're going to go out for a pint
anyway,
somewhere.
Self-defeating.
And then the next day, someone finds out about it, and then there's a row or gets into the newspapers, and it has to be addressed at the next training session, and then there's bad blood, and then it follows into the next game, and then they probably lose the next game.
It's just so silly. But the great thing about that bus journey, lads, is that was the Monday, so they were allowed to have the few on the Sunday, and then they're driving out to Tip and they stop off and get a bag full of cans and, you know, and have the crack on the bus.
Like Sigerson coming back to the Sigerson
game.
Yeah,
but like, this is what brings a team together. I don't think you can even, you can't bottle that kind of crack and a bit of atmosphere.
I'll never forget Paul Galvin's reaction when we told him that, oh, you'll be going on in a second, they're just woolies on the phone to the team bus there, and he sort of looked at me and is the manager there? And I was like, oh yeah, he's going to be on the phone too.
Yeah, he's doing shots at the front.
Yeah, so look, there's no surprises here who the winner is. It's Connor Sweeney who took the original call, and this is the gas thing. It was Connor Sweeney took the original call and then brought the phone down to Liam Cairns. So we edited out the little bit of walking down whatever and just made it a little bit smooth. But the gas thing about this, Liam Cairns used to be a manager of mine, and Cairns, first of all, just thought this was a private call, that Connor was saying, here, Woolley wants to talk to you. So let's just put it this way. Cairns' language was very colourful for about 5 minutes. And then he says, here, you're not recording this, are you? And I went, Liam, I am, here, don't use that. So we had to redo the interview all over again. And to be fair to Liam, you know, his interview the second time was just as good without the expletives. But yeah, you know, it was an absolute classic. And the more we can get of that. And do you know what? It did Tipperary absolutely no harm. They performed incredibly, incredibly well against Mayo. And, you know, had them on the rack for so long in that game. So look, the winner of interview, GAR Interview of the Year, is Connor Sweeney and Liam Cairns. And look, the whole Tipperary panel. Congratulations. All right, thanks very much. We're coming near the end of the show now, and we're going to look at the two teams of the year. Damien, I know you're under pressure for time, so we're going to go through the hurling all-star team first. Starting in goals with Owen Murphy, we've got Cathal Barrett, Dahi Burke, Paul Murphy on the full back line. Damien, any suggestions, or what's your agreement on that one?
No, I'd be happy enough with that full back line. I might change a cornerback in a second, but no, I'd be happy enough with that goalie and the full back line. I'll get you in a second. Stay going.
I think Owen Murphy for catching Padraig Mahony's ball over the crossbar deserves it for that alone.
Halfback, he was usually consistent as well all year.
Yeah, halfback line I think is a no-brainer. It's Padraig Walsh, it's Ronan Maher and it's Paddy Maher. Midfield, Conor Fogarty and David Burke. Half forward line, Debrick Walsh, Austin Gleeson, Walter Welsh. I'd call him Walsh, but they call him Welsh in Kilkenny. And full forward line, John McGrath, Shamey Callanan and Richie Hogan. Now, Richie Hogan is the only player I've picked that is actually out of position, that hasn't played corner forward. But Richie Hogan kind of rotates so much that he's usually in the half forward line, but he has to be on the team for his impact against Galway in the Leinster final. Won that game on his own. And against Waterford both days, he was just unbelievably good. And he also, I think, he got a great goal against Tipperary in the final. You know, so you have to find a place for Richie Hogan. And I didn't think there was an outstanding number 15 that was there anyway. So, Damien, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd be happy enough with your selection, to be honest. I might. Once again, you and I can pick the team, but they don't pick it that way when it comes to the All-Stars. They usually put a 6 together. I like the way you've done. I can see your point. I put the players that played in positions. So on that ground, I'm going to take the team. So on Richie Hogan going to corner forward, Richie Hogan is going to get an All-Star now. So it's always an All-Star selection. Is always the best one. You know, it's what you think and what you think and everything. But yeah, no, I'm happy enough. I'm glad Conor Fogarty got into the team. I think he's an unsung hero in the Kilkenny team, and I hope he does get the All-Star nod. You know, because as I said, he's a great player, tough and a great attitude. So, yeah. I think
after the Munster final, Michael Breen was a shoe-in in midfield, but he kind of ran out a bit of steam against Galway and against Kilkenny in the final, so he probably put himself out of the reckoning. But we'll have a look at the Hurler of the Year as well here, Damien, before we let you go. The nominations are Austin Gleeson, Seamus Callanan and Dahi Burke. What's your take on those three before I announce the winner?
Three players. Yeah, I would have put in Padraig Maher as well into the mix.
Yeah,
Padraig Maher, unbelievable, consistent year. I suppose in hurling terms, they went on and won the county championship as well with Turles. So maybe in that regard, right? But look, they're going to give hurler the year to only one man, and that's Seamus Cannon. I could be wrong in this.
Do you think so?
As I said to you, he's all our. Yeah, I think they were. Yeah, I could be wrong. Look, I stand corrected, but I know you were probably saying it's going to be Austin, but I just think they're going to give Hurler the year to Seamus Cannon, Tipperary, one day. But I stand corrected, right? I don't know it all, but I reckon they'll give it to Seamus Cannon.
No, it wouldn't surprise me if they give it to Seamus Callanan, because it just, you know, because of that performance.
You know, the truth of it is, Colin, right?
That's a man of the match award rather than a player of the year award.
Yeah, Seamus Callanan, great hurler, brilliant hurler and top notch, right? But actually, you know, he had quite a kind of a season until the All-Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, by his own standard, but I still think that he will get the nod.
Right, okay, well listen, that's my All-Star Hurling Team of the Year. My Hurler of the Year is no surprise, it's Austin Gleeson, just because the man is a freak of nature. He's only 21. He's bullying fellas. Under 21 this year. He's just bullying fellas that are around.
Who did you give Young Hurler of the Year to?
I didn't pick a Young Hurler of the Year, actually.
That's what I reckon will happen, right? I reckon that Seamus Cannon will get Hurler of the Year and Austin Gleeson will get Young Hurler of the Year.
Yeah, that's a cop out.
A nice way of honouring Austin Gleeson as well. So that's what I reckon. It'll be Seamus Cannon, Senior Hurler of the Year, and Austin Gleeson will get Young Hurler of the Year.
Yeah,
so both players will go home with two awards each.
I tell you what, we're going to give a Young Hurler of the Year here. I'm not going to give nominations. John McGrath gets my Young Hurler of the Year. He's under 21 this year, Damien, is he? You have to be under 21, don't you?
I don't think he was under 21. See, I could be wrong there now again. Was John McGrath under 21 this year? No, definitely not. No, John McGrath is not under 21.
Right, okay.
It's under 21, so...
Just give it to Austin.
I'm going with Austin Gleeson and I'm going with Seamus Cannon.
I'm giving Austin Gleeson Young Hurler of the Year and Senior Hurler of the Year, because Austin, what Dear McConnelly is to Conan, Austin Gleeson is to me. He's my hurling hero.
You have to give it to Austin because he was outstanding in March and April.
Yeah,
and he was also outstanding in July.
I reckon
Colin
Parkinson will be going to Austin Gleeson's house for Christmas.
Right, listen, Austin Gleeson winner. Congratulations. All right, that's great. Damien's gone now. We're going to pick the football all-star team, lads, because this is more interesting because the actual football all-stars have been announced. So we'll be able to compare our hurling, well, my hurling one, next or tomorrow when it's announced. But as of now, we have a comparison with the football one that's been announced. So I'm going to go through my all-star team. Stephen Cluxton in goals. Stephen Cluxton is the greatest goalkeeper that's ever played. Stephen Cluxton had a good year. If any other goalkeeper had the standard of year Stephen Cluxton had, he would be a shoe-in for an all-star. Just because Stephen Cluxton didn't play as well as he did in 2011 or 2013 does not mean he's not the best goalkeeper in the country this year. So for those reasons, Stephen Cluxton, in my eyes, is the all-star goalkeeper.
I agree with that 100%. Just because Stephen Cluxton has been so, so good, shouldn't be a black mark against him when he's, you know, down maybe 1 out of 10 type of thing. Obviously, before the Kerry game, he had 5 or 6 wobbly minutes. But apart from that, going into the final, the two games against Mayo, he gave an absolute masterclass. And I think the standard of goalkeeping at intercounty level is actually quite low. I don't think it's that good. I think there's probably too much focus on goalkeepers shot stopping when there's so much more to it in terms of high balls and kickouts and using the ball well from open play. And Stephen Cluxton, I think, is comfortably the best keeper in the country, and his performance has reflected that this year.
And what needs to be pointed out as well, he had that mini meltdown, which was incredible to watch, but he came out in the second half
and responded brilliantly.
Yeah. And he could easily have scrambled that second half, and years ago he might have lost his head, but no, he settled down, he's team captain, and he just pinged those kickouts, and not easy kickouts a lot of the time as well, and especially in the All-Ireland replay, he pinged them
could
a lot longer.
There, you know?
Yeah, the pressure was on, and he handled it. Evan Comerford maybe worth a shout. I mean, remember Jim McGuinness did a good piece on him and analysed his kickouts as well, and Tipperary obviously had a good season and he was a big part of it, but I think I actually agree with you. I'm going to go back. I originally had Evan Comerford in my team, but I'll go with Cluxton as well.
Okay, great. We're all in agreement with Cluxton. Might not be in agreement as we move on. Well, we've been in agreement on this. Johnny Cooper. I'm going to really start off on, on a roll of Johnny Cooper. He's in my nominees for Footballer of the Year. Never put a foot wrong. Joins the attack. He's the complete player. He's aggressive. He's now got this physique that, he hadn't a few years ago, and
he always had the football ability.
Always had that, and he's gone from being an attacking halfback to being a cornerback to even developing into a fullback. And a lot of people will tell you, I've never played fullback, I've played cornerback. That the transition from cornerback to fullback, it's a whole other ball game to have to play in the centre of that fullback line, and he's just doing it seamlessly. So, listen,
and in Rory's absence,
where everybody thought this was going to be a problem position, Johnny Cooper, bang, we're all in agreement. Brendan Harrison in the other corner, lads. Mm-hmm. A player I actually had to roll back on, a bit like Kevin McLaughlin 3 or 4 years ago. I didn't think they were great and just completely changed my mind. I thought he was a bit kamikaze because he tries to win the ball out in front and he's just right up beside you. I thought that sometime he's going to get caught doing this, and he never did. Mm. And he did brilliantly on Bernard Brogan in the final. He just did brilliantly on anyone he marked. And I think in his first year, that's his first all-star.
Went about his business nice and quietly, and with, I think Kyle Barrett was injured for a lot of the year, and then Jared Cafferty been out for the whole year with the injury. He really stepped up for them.
Yeah, I'm going with Lee Keegan in the other corner, lads. He spent as much time on the full back line as he did in the half back line. He's marking the danger man on all teams, no matter where they played, and often that was in the full forward line. So for those reasons, Lee Keegan is a shoe-in for an all-star. I'm picking him in the full back line rather than the half back line.
I can't agree with that. Definitely Lee Keegan, yes, but Philly McMahon has to be in. So I'd just move Lee Keegan out to halfback, where Mark Connolly and probably had his best game, maybe. And I would put Philly McMahon has to be in there, right?
I'd have Philly McMahon as well. I think last year he was the best player in the country. You know, he should have got player of the year. Didn't quite hit those heights this year, but I think if you were just looking at him objectively, from maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, I think you'd have him in your team.
Yeah, I thought Philly was good, but I don't think he was the outstanding defender Dublin had. And I think that's what the All-Star should be about. It should be the best player on every team, and it should all be relative. And I think Johnny Cooper was much better than Philly. So if I'm looking for a Dublin defender, I'm looking at Johnny Cooper straight away. I think Philly was good.
Dublin aren't allowed to have 2 players in the one line.
Well, they can. But I think Lee Keegan deserves the All-Star. And I'm just putting him in the full back line. The reasons, I think sometimes it gets confused about All-Star selections. And instead of saying he was good this year, I want the All-Star to say he was outstanding this year. He was actually head and shoulders on his team, better than his teammates. And that's what the All-Star should be about. I think it's changed a lot in recent years is in the All-Ireland winners get too many, and you can actually float through a year being all right and have one good game and be an all-star. And I don't think that's what it should be. I think you should be head and shoulders above your teammates, like be the main man. And I don't think Philly was that this year. Anyways, moving to the half-back line, Ryan McHugh, I think he ticks all those boxes I was mentioning. Head and shoulders above all his teammates. Played a good bit in the forwards, but played a good bit in the half-back line as
developed
well.
Developed into being a leader for them as well.
Really has, yeah, really has. And again, a little bit like Johnny Cooper, his physique has completely transformed. He's now a man of steel.
He looked like a minor player a couple of years
ago.
Really?
Yeah. I thought he was too small.
Yeah, shirt hanging off him.
Yeah. His brother's actually like that now, Owen. But like, I'm not worried about Owen now. I'm saying Owen will, you know, grow into like the same physique as Ryan will. So, you know, Ryan McHugh. Centre-half back lads, Keane O'Sullivan. I'm picking Keane O'Sullivan for the same reasons as I'm picking Stephen Cluxton, you know. And he's always outstanding. When Keane O'Sullivan is around, if you're a Dublin fan, you can just relax. He's not going like, okay, he made that mistake against Donegal, but that game was nearly over at that stage. He's just a brilliant, brilliant centre half back. He's a brilliant, brilliant sweeper. The whole conversation of the summer is what's everyone going to do about Keane O'Sullivan.
Their defensive system is built around him,
all around him. Yeah, yeah. And he's not just there sweeping, he's orchestrating. When he drops, he's making sure his man's being picked, and he's the leader on the field. I think he's Dublin's most important player after Stephen Cluxton, and for those reasons he's an all-star for me.
And I think he maybe got penalised this year because he's not going forward and kicking scores.
Yeah,
you know,
but
that's not his job. Yeah. But I think that's possibly the reason why he lost out on the selection this morning.
Yeah, so Keane O'Sullivan gets centre half back. Right half back is somebody is a bit from left field. He wasn't even nominated. It's Bill Maher from Tipperary. Every time I see Bill Maher get on the ball, I'm excited. He breaks through lines. He's as fast as Kevin McLaughlin. He just eats up the ground. In Croke Park, he just looked at home. Now, like his football ability when he gets near the goals might be a little bit questionable, but for pace, I think he's a huge, huge part of what makes Tipperary a brilliantly exciting team. Just from his pace from the half back line, he plays with an abandon. It's almost like he doesn't understand. There's no fear. Like,
throws,
you know,
off the shackles
completely.
And just goes.
He plays without any fear, and it's always positive what he's trying to do. And like, for not many players catch my eye out of nowhere. And this fella, I don't know. Every time I see him, I'm just thinking, Jesus, he's really eating up the ground or really doing something positive. And you know, Tipperary got to a semi final. They need two representatives, as far as I'm concerned, to represent what they did this year. And to me, the three best players for Tipperary this year were Quinlivan, Aitchison and Bill Maher. And for those reasons, Bill Maher gets wing back. Aitchison is in the running for midfield, but there might be others better than him. So Bill Maher, lads, I know you're not going to agree with me.
I don't agree. I don't think he was nominated, but I suppose that's not, neither here nor there. But I mean, if you weren't going with Lee Keegan at number five, I think you'd probably go with maybe Patrick Durkin.
Yeah, Durkin was very good.
He was very good, particularly towards the latter end of the year when the, let's be honest, the stakes are that bit higher. You know, you're playing against a better player.
But that's all relative though, Barry. And I'm like, this is okay. But like, I mean, I have to say, like, coming from Laois playing in a Leinster final, like, if you're telling me that's not as big a game to me as someone else playing an All-Ireland final, it 100% is. You've never played in that before. So it's all relative to standard that you play at. Like, for Tipperary to play Mayo in an All-Ireland semi-final, are you telling me that's a lower standard than Dublin playing in a final? Like, I mean, for those Tipperary players to play in a semi-final and perform at that level, that is way, way exceeding their level. So for Bill Maher, for example, to perform at that level, like, it way supersedes performing an All-Ireland final for me.
But Bill Maher playing well against Mayo, I think Patrick Durkin playing very well against Dublin twice in an All-Ireland finals is a stronger case.
Yeah, that's
in my opinion.
Durkin,
you know,
Durkin is definitely,
he had a slow enough start to the year.
He gathered
a bit of pace after that.
Yeah, and he did come strong in the All-Ireland finals, a couple of the scores, but I don't think he did enough throughout the year. And again, when you're looking at the Mayo team, like, is he better? Did he have a better year than Harrison or Keegan? I think not. And I think, like, this is my standards for getting an All-Star. You have to be in the top two or three players on your team that year.
I just put Keegan number five and bring Philly McMahon in.
Okay, well that's okay. Listen, and when you get your own award show, lads, you can actually do that, right? Midfield, we've got Brian Fenton and Matty Donnelly, and that's why Atchison Ludes is out. He had an outstanding year, but did he have a better year than the two lads? I don't think so. Gary Brennan will feel hard done by. He was outstanding for a lot of the year. What happened?
Couldn't have done anymore, really.
Yeah. With Gary Brennan, though, against Kerry both days, he didn't play. He didn't perform at that same level. So that's that step up that he didn't get to. So, you know, that's kind of going against him a little bit. He dominated, really dominated games against Laois and against Sligo and against Roscommon. But the two Kerry games are, you know, what's like, for example, Fenton performed brilliantly against Kerry in the second half. You know,
so Fenton gets a lot of good help from around him, whereas Gary Brennan, well, you there know, you go. A lot that's of his teammates wouldn't be of the Kerry standard teammates, so that would make life a lot more difficult.
There you are. It's
him,
not a perfect science, yeah. You know, but Matty Donnelly, I think, was outstanding for Tyrone right throughout the championship. He's become a leader and he's breaking forward against Mayo when they needed him. He kicked, was it two just before half time when they really needed him against Donegal?
He put a brilliant pass into McCallisky.
Crossfield ball.
That was the game winner.
That was the winning of the game.
Yeah, and they could have got to a final, maybe one all Ireland if that went in.
Yeah, and he's a huge man now, and he's just become that focal point. Him and Colm Cavanagh are almost the perfect combination. So, like, I think they're a no brainer. They're actually the actual all star midfield as well. So it's hard to argue with that. Half forward line, Peter Hart, as far as I'm concerned, a no brainer. Had an unbelievable year. It's hard to believe it's only his first all star. And people saying he always plays with number seven on his back, but he always starts at centre forward or wing forward. So that, like, he's a forward end of story. He does do a lot of tracking back and he wears seven. So a lot of people think he starts at wing back. He absolutely doesn't, because I watch him all the time. Centre half forward, there's absolutely no looks at me here from the two lads here. Dermot Connolly then, centre half forward, no brainer as well. Dermot was brilliant all year, just solid, consistent. Was he Dublin's best forward? I think yes. Does he deserve the All-Star? Was Peter Hart Tyrone's best forward? Yes, that's why he deserves the All-Star. This is the criteria I'm going with. Other wing forward, I know you're going to disagree with me, but Jamie Malone from Clare. Clare had a year this year that they've never had in, maybe their history. They won four championship games. They beat solid teams like Sligo, Roscommon and Laois, and they beat Limerick. Jamie Malone was outstanding, and Jamie Malone performed against Kerry as well. He was their best player through the whole run this year. Clare came from nowhere, from winning Division 3. He was very good, the whole year. And if you're looking at All-Stars, being the best players on each team that get, and they got to a quarter final, far, won Division 3, far exceeding their expectations. Clare deserve a representative, and Jamie Malone is that man.
The relative.
Argue with it. It should be a relative All-Stars, lads. It should be. It's all relative. Like, you have to understand, with the championship the way it is, you can't compare like with like. What Jamie Malone did this year far exceeds what other players and other teams did.
Do you know what would be hilarious, just from your point of view, Willie, if Kieran Kilkenny wins the Footballer of the Year tomorrow and you don't have him here at all? I wouldn't have him on my team either, but it's just, you know, I think there's a really good chance that he...
Yeah. Well, I think Kieran Kilkenny had a really good All-Ireland final replay, but I think he slowed the game down too much. I don't think he's positive enough. Maybe that's the role he's been given, but that doesn't make that all right with me. He wasn't the outstanding Dublin forward. He wasn't the second outstanding Dublin forward. He wasn't the third outstanding Dublin forward. He did a role in the team that maybe Jim Gavin asked him to do, but absolutely not was he deserving of an All-Star.
And there's way more in him as well going forward.
Yes, positive, that's the disappointing part, and I think we need to point that out, that Kieran Kilkenny is a player that, you know, you'd be a huge fan of, but this year, I don't know, I think he lost his way a bit, but came back in the All-Ireland final replay and played well. Corner forward, Paul Geaney, no arguments there. I'd say Michael Quinlivan, full forward, no arguments there. And number 15, we can have a chat about this. I have Danny Cummins. And I'll explain my reasons for Danny Cummins. Number one, Galway won the Connacht title. Mayo going for six in a row to beat Mayo. Danny Cummins scored a point against Mayo at a really important time to put them two clear. Against Roscommon, he was unbelievable. Man of the match in the drawn game. A really kind of, negative style of football. Low score, and he scored three from play. One of them was one of the best scores I've seen. I don't know how I didn't put it into point of the year, where he flicked it up and stuck it over off the outside of his boot. Replay against Roscommon, two of the best goals ever, one off the outside of his right, one off the outside of his left, and played really, really well in the first half when Galway blew Roscommon away when he was needed. Then came out against Tipperary and had an outstanding first half. Galway went out of it in the second half completely, so there's not much he could do. So when he was getting the supply ball, he was outstanding. I think Galway deserve a representative. They won a provincial championship and they stopped Mayo going for six in a row. And I think Danny Cummins is their outstanding forward this year. For those reasons, he pips Dean Rock for the title, for the award.
I don't think Galway deserve a representative. They had one big win against Mayo. I don't think anything else was anything of note. You know, finished third in Division 2 and then went out very weakly against a Tipperary team in the quarterfinal. So I certainly, looking at your forward line, you only have one dub there. I'd make a case for a couple more in Kevin McMenamin and Dean Rock, certainly. I think the guys were very unlucky. I think Kevin McMenamin was very unlucky not to get an All-Star this year. You know, for a lot of people going into the Ireland final, he was a contender for Footballer of the Year. Had a poor game the first day, but actually thought he had a good game the second day. He won three frees that were scored in the first half, kicked one himself. And I think that was slightly overlooked, but I thought that first half in the replay might have actually squeezed them over the line to get an All-Star this year.
Dean?
No, Kevin McMenamin.
Oh, Kevin, yeah. Kevin had a really good year, but again, I'd have Kevin nearly after Dear McConnelly next in line for the All-Stars. It's the two matches against Mayo. He just didn't feature enough for me to... maybe that's unfair, but you have to put Dublin in the context of waltzing through Leinster. I'm almost picked Dublin players from the Donegal, the Kerry, and the two Dublin
onwards,
for quarterfinal onwards. Yeah. So then you've got Kev Mack having two really good games and having two really bad, no, not really bad ones, but having two average ones. And I don't think that's All-Star form. I just brushed the Leinster Championship because as a forward for Dublin, you're just getting so many handy scores. Like, I mean, you see the Dear McConnelly one we talked about for point
against
of the year.
Mead, yeah.
Like, nobody laying a hand on him. Yeah. That's how easy they're getting
Trying
it. So I like, Dublin, for those four games after Leinster, I'd like to maybe concentrate more on them when we're talking about All-Stars. Dean Rock is one that gets close. But when you look at Dean Rock and we're looking at the Dublin or the Donegal, the Kerry, and the two Dublin games, nothing from play against Donegal, five frees. He got two from play against Kerry. He got one from play the first day against Mayo and he got two from play against Mayo. I see that as doing well and chipping in. I don't see it as in I'm taking games by the scruff of the neck. His frees were terrible in the first game against Dublin. And I can't dismiss
his good free-taking days, though, and his good 45s. Was he kicked 10 from place balls against Kerry?
Yeah,
they weren't all top overs.
He had 90%.
Now, you know?
He had 90% going into the All-Ireland final.
Yeah.
Free-taking. So he's free-taking. I don't know. Like, I don't even think free-taking should be included in top scorer charts. I think that should be a separate award. And Dean Rock is the best free-taker in the country. Is he an All-Star? I don't know. I think Dear McConnelly could take the frees if Dublin... Would Dublin have won the All-Ireland if Dear McConnelly on the frees and Dean Rock not playing? I'd say they probably would have.
The Kerry game I'd go back to because he kicked 12 points that day, 10 from place balls. I don't know if Dermot would have kicked, I think, 245s that day. Dean got, so there's no guarantees that he would. I suppose he was very reliable from place balls apart from one game. And that does take the pressure off a few of the other forwards as well, knowing that, you know, he's sort of at that 93% success rate.
Yeah, well, look, my All-Stars have eight counties represented. I think...
You'd give Cummins a nod over Comer.
Yeah. I thought Cummins was outstandingly exciting every time he played this year. I thought he was Cummins isn't a player I would have had a huge amount of time for before. I thought he got on a lot of ball without really doing too much.
A bit more end product this year.
A lot of end product and good scores, good goals, good points, and actually had danger behind his brilliant movement. Eight counties represented altogether. And the reason you put a Jamie Malone in there and a Danny Cummins is that, like, I mean, I think teams that do well, like, every team can't get to the All-Ireland final. That doesn't mean a player didn't have a brilliant year, you know? So I don't think so many lads should be discounted just because they don't make that last team, because the best
team... It may not be their fault.
No, yeah. The best teams get to the final. Like, it doesn't mean the best individuals get to the final. I think that the All-Stars have lost their way a little bit in that the two final representatives have too many on it. And it dismisses fellas who have outstanding years, you know, relatively, but haven't been on a good enough team to get themselves that far, you know. And I think that needs to be taken.
And I think this year's team was better because
it was.
Had a couple of quarterfinal losers, I suppose, getting represented on the team.
Yeah,
I mean,
instead of all four semi-finalists.
I don't necessarily think there should be lip service to these counties. Like, there needs to be a box tick to say that there's eight different counties on it. But It's my view that this should be the best 15 players, and if that's double, I don't have a problem with
no,
that.
No, the best 15 players on paper is different, because if I was picking a
no,
best 15
I mean
a
for the season, like, you know, yeah. Like who's played the best football this season, and that's nearly a gripe that we have in Derry. Like Paddy Bradley only has one All-Star, you know, but if he's in the top 15 in the country that season, then he should be given more All-Stars, and it doesn't matter if he's only played two or three games. It doesn't matter if you're going to have all Dublin players. I think it should just be that sort of strict. It's like if you're in the top 15 countries.
Yeah. Yeah. Conor McManus didn't get nominated.
Yeah.
And he had a good year. Like, yeah. You know,
he's a victim of his own standards as well. You know, yeah. I think that's fairly obvious. Footballer of the Year, lads, before we finish up. Three nominations for Footballer of the Year. Johnny Cooper. We've said enough about Johnny Cooper. He was unbelievable. Peter Hart. Brilliant for Tyrone all year, even against Mayo. Look, Tyrone didn't go over the line from maybe to get far enough to make the All-Stars Footballer of the Year. And Lee Keegan, who just had an unbelievable year. And the winner of Footballer of the Year is Lee Keegan. Hard to argue with Lee Keegan, lads. Unbelievable man-marking job on Sean Kavanagh, on Quinn Livin, and on Dermot Connolly both days. Not only that, in the All-Ireland final, scored an unbelievable point. He scored, I think, 1-6 throughout the championship, despite being pretty much a man-marker and marking their main man. I think only Shane Walsh got a point off him.
Yeah.
Until the All-Ireland final replay, when Connolly got one from playoff him. So, like, Jesus, lads, that's... I honestly think there is not more of a no-brainer for Footballer of the Year than Lee Keegan to win Footballer of the Year. I think when you want the outstanding player on a team, the leader, the man who stood head and shoulders above all his teammates, I don't think Dublin have that player. I think Mayo had that player. So for those reasons, Lee Keegan get it.
Keegan was getting criticised before the quarterfinals as well for not doing enough. He's definitely up there, and I can understand. I would just go with Peter Hart. I just think he brought something completely different to what we're used to seeing. Just the way he plays with his brain, it's almost like he's 2 seconds ahead of everyone. It's just so classy. He's got a lot of pace in that, but he doesn't seem to need to use it. Everything he does is just beautiful. Like, so I would have went with Peter Hart.
I would just edge with Lee Keegan. I mean, to try and put it into context, if you take someone similar to him as a halfback like Jack McCaffrey, if you said we're going to put Jack McCaffrey back next year on the most dangerous inside forwards, you know, it'd be difficult for Jack. Like, you know, and that's what effectively the Mayo management did. They took the best attacking halfback in the country and put him in their full back line against the most dangerous opposition forward. And
his willingness to do that and accept that. And actually, there's another thing I meant to say about the playing him in cornerback, or me picking him in cornerback. Mayo did a crossbar challenge. I remember I tweeted it out at the time, and it came up to the camera, introduced themselves, and Lee Keegan came. Leroy Keegan, cornerback. I rest my case. Cornerback All-Star.
But just on Brian Fenton, like, he's just had a phenomenal 2 years, and I know he maybe had a quiet first day against
Kerry. David Moran did well on him.
Yeah, did well
on
him. But like, at times it just looks so easy for him because he's that good. You know, he is absolutely everything of a modern day inter-county midfielder in terms of field and fitness. The thing I like about him, when I saw him in the club championship for Rohini as well, every time he gets the ball, he looks with his head up to kick past the ball. You know, and whether it's right foot 40 yards or left foot 20 yards, that's his first option, is to move the ball by foot forward. So he's not just taking plays on the ball for the sake of it.
Yeah.
And he would kick a score as well.
Who's your favourite to win the actual Player of the Year that we're going to hear tomorrow night? Who is Brian Fenton?
Fenton, Kilkenny, and Lee Keegan. I'd say obviously between Fenton, I think, and Lee Keegan. So it's a player's vote. So
that's a player's vote.
A player's vote.
All right. I think Lee Keegan.
The senior and the young Player of the Year in football and hurling is a player's vote.
Is all
text goes out to players.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. You're going tomorrow night, Barry, are you?
I am. Yeah.
Okay. Will it be as good as this award show? you're looking well in your tuxedo. I hope. Are you going to wear the same tuxedo tomorrow night?
I'll put on the dry cleaners later on. Yeah.
Conan scrubs up very well.
He does.
Listen, that's all we have time for this year on the Woolley Awards. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back next year for some more fairer All-Stars, dishing out the All-Stars to the weaker counties, because that's what the Woolley Awards are all about. Good luck.